Well, I want to welcome all of you all that are here to our Tuesday noon Bible study at Cross Culture Church. We are endeavoring to do a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study in the book of Revelation. What we have already discovered is that there is a blessing in reading the book of Revelation. As a lot of people steer clear of it and say they don't understand it, if you just dive in, the Lord will make a way. I was told once, and it's true, if you start, you'll find your way. So we've already started, and we've gotten down to chapter 3, and we will proceed from verse 11, and we're going to move quickly. And it says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." So I want to jump all the way back to 11, and we're going to get to go from 11 to 13. We had talked about from 7 all the way down to 11, where the Lord was saying that he knew the church of Philadelphia. He knew of their works. And then he said and dealt with the fact that even if you have a little strength, that you can hold on to the word of God and proceed. So that holds, and we move on down, and it says how he was going to deal with the synagogue of Satan, which means that there are some perpetrators out there who are looking at things in a very selfish manner. And there's a lot of people, and we related that to the church and how some people out here that's in Christendom are looking out for themselves more than they're looking out for the people and adhering to the word of God. There are some things that the word of God says you can't do in the church. And so now we got some churches that are doing those very same things that the Lord is truly not pleased with. So there are some churches, but whether they are of God or not is another story. So, and he's dealing with that. And he's right up until you get to 11 and 10, it says, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also give thee in the hour of temptation that which shall come upon you to try them that dwell upon the earth." So what it said here in 10, and as we bring it on into 11, is that there will be a temptation that's coming, and nobody's going to be able to avoid it. But he says, if you got a little strength, you can make it through. Another scripture says, in this life you're going to have tribulations and tests and some trials, but be of a good cheer, for God has already overcome the world. So here we have, "Behold, I come quickly." And I want to stop right there. How can we relate to that word, quickly?
It's quick is something that unexpectedly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Quickly is something that, like a blink of an eye. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Blink your eye. You know how you blink your eye?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's quick.
That's quick.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anybody else on quickly?
Certainly.
So if it's going to come quick, it's going to come certainly. It's definitely coming. Mm-hmm. You just don't know when it is.
Exactly.
All right.
Suddenly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Bob?
Oh, I was going to almost say the same thing, but it reminds me of the word immediately or straightway.
That's what came to my mind, immediately.
Certainly it's going to happen, but you don't know when it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's a fact that it's going to happen. How quick is quick? No one knows, but it will happen.
I like the word quick because we are the only ones that have the conscience of time. And so I wanted to, when I saw that, I, first thing I thought, and I've been thinking this, this has just been something on my heart, so I'm just kind of sharing about time. If we look at the future, it's if you look at it, we can only get there 24 hours at a time.
That's right.
Because if you wake up, you only got 24 hours to make a difference. Because, I mean, unless you're going to stay awake over 24 hours.
Right.
but everything else is still in the 24-hour cycle. Just because you stay up doesn't mean that there's not, the cycle is not, you know, it's not moving.
You're right. It doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. Mm-hmm. So if you got a 24-hour period, and then you in a day, and then we can even deal with what God's terms for a day, and then from a day to a month, from a month to a year, we only have, again, 24 hours to make a difference. So if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing in your 24 hours, whatever time he comes is good. If you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we all are, like Paul said, if we all running a race, everybody's not going to get to the finish line at the same time. Because my time may be longer than yours. Yours may be longer than mine or shorter. But the idea is to hold fast till you get to the finish line and don't quit.
That's right.
All right. So if you got a little strength and you holding on, you can make it. All right. So behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I'm a little full, so I'll throw some things out and let y'all deal with it. There is a reward for staying saved. And so I just want to put that out there.
Amen.
There's a reward. When you get to the end of the race, there is a reward. Mm-hmm. Now, which reward will you get? Because there's two rewards.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There's two rewards.
More than eternal?
Eternal damnation.
It's a good and a bad.
See, I know you didn't want to hear that part. We all want the good part, but there is a flip. Well, you want the two good rewards.
I know that other one.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's true. You will be rewarded.
Yeah, you will. And so when you're looking at this, at Revelation. The revelation is that he's coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so when he comes back, what's he going to be looking for when he come back? So he's already dealing with the church in the first part all the way up until this point. And he says, if you hold fast, while you're holding fast, let no man take your crown. How can somebody take your crown?
You have to let them, allow them to do it.
You don't stay focused.
Okay, you can allow them to take it. Okay. How else
my fear of God and also wanting to be in heaven keeps me from temptation right now for the last 30 years.
Okay, so you want to make it?
Yeah.
Okay, so nobody can talk you out of
it? No.
Okay.
Being
a trap. They can't reason you out of it.
Well, I think the main thing is I fear God now. I don't want the wrath of God. And I want to see to be in heaven. That's more important to me than anything.
Okay. So now she's holding. There's a word I'm looking for. She's holding the fire as her anchor. She's saying, I don't want to burn, so I'm going to hold fast. Mm-hmm. All right, so you've made the decision that nobody can talk you out of it, because if they do, then you're going to burn. You said, so I don't care what you say, I don't care what you present, I don't care how you try to put it up there.
Yeah.
Whatever you say is not going to be worth this fire and losing in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that partially answers my question of how can somebody take your crown?
Well, I was going to expound on what it still said. Her response was similar to another reason why I enjoy Revelation. Mm-hmm. It should cause me to live better.
Mm-hmm.
It right. should cause me not to want to go to hell.
Okay.
I heard you say men have tried. But I was reading something here. I forget what chapter it was, but Revelation there as to either the Antichrist, how he will come and pluck your eyes out. People will want to die, and they can't die.
Mm-hmm.
They will want to commit suicide, mm-hmm. and death will escape them because they can't die. They can't commit suicide. No more. Okay. So when I read Revelation like you, I tend to want to become a better person, a better Christian.
Okay.
So people can see God in me.
All right. Anybody else?
For this to be in there, that no one may take a crown, evidently there must be a situation where your crown can be taken. Evidently, if it says that hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown, so evidently there must be a way that the crown can be taken from you.
And it starts with a D.
The devil.
What? No.
Deception.
Okay. Deception. Then that's the way that your crown can be taken.
Brought that up. I said, how can somebody? Yes.
That's said to me. Mm-hmm. Evidently, the crown can be taken because it said that no one may take your crown.
Right.
So deception can put you in a situation where your crown can be taken.
Right. Put a value on it, not to where it needs to be.
And see, Estelle has put a value.
That's what I'm talking about.
She's put a value mm-hmm. on it for her.
Right.
And she needs to go there with it mm-hmm. for her to stay where she is.
Right.
And not be moved by every wind and doctrine mm-hmm. that may come her way.
Now we
see,
got it.
Yeah. I'm kind of like her. Mm-hmm. I'm at that stage. You can't convince me otherwise that there is any other way to God but through Jesus Christ.
Okay.
You can't come to me with Buddha and Muslim and, you know, all those other religions that have come up. I'm like her. There are certain things that I have to stay away from.
Okay.
To stay saved, mm-hmm. because you don't know my personal life story. So there are certain situations and people and places mm-hmm. I can't go. I can't go because the deception would cause me to lose my crown.
All right. Mm-hmm. Well, I really want to work with that for a minute, but we're going to go. Anybody else? All right. So,
lose your crown, remember not. We have to be careful every day because the devil come in a corny and tricky way.
Yeah.
So many tricky
exactly.
So many tricky ways we got out there. You got to be your opponent.
That's right.
Now I want to throw something out and make and I know I'm doing it on purpose. But I want you to think when it says that no man take your crown. You in your flesh can let it go. There can be a desire.
Yeah.
There can be things in you. You said you already know what's there, so you said, I don't put myself in that situation. There's a lot of people that they know it, but they think that they got enough strength.
Right. Mm. Right.
You know.
Exactly.
They think that they can do that.
Right.
And
exactly.
I'll give you a classic example. A person that's on drugs, they get delivered from drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, they're praying. They say, the Lord gave me a vision to go back and minister
to the drug
addict.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's all well and good if you've been delivered.
Right.
That's all well and good
right.
if you
right.
know that you know yeah. that you know that you know.
You know that you know you
now,
know.
Now, if you 2 weeks saved, if you 90 days saved,
yeah,
if you 6 months saved, you're not ready.
You ain't got no business dipping.
Well, I'm just saying you've not been delivered yet.
Right.
And deliverance is a process. Now, I know some people can say it hit me right then,
yeah,
and I didn't never want no more taste. You know, and that's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But in some people, and if you look at 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man or woman be in Christ, they will become a new creation. Old things will pass away. It don't mean it's going to be instant.
Right.
It's going to pass away.
Right.
So I wanted to put that out there, just stir a little something up. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's go to 12. 12, it says, he that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Now from 12 all the way down to 13 is a reward that you can get for being steadfast.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not being deceived, having just a little strength to get past the temptation, right? He gonna write your name. He gonna make you strong. He gonna do all these things for put you in the pillar, and so all of these things is good. The key to this is 13. He that hath an ear to hear,
yes,
what the Spirit of the Lord saith to the church.
Right.
How many people are sitting in church that they don't hear
a thing?
Well, they hear something, but it doesn't necessarily resonate. Now, I don't know about you all, but when I read about the word being sown on all these different grounds, mm-hmm, you know, I said, man, the word should be able to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
It does, but when it fall on that ground, it showed you how three different situations that could affect the ground that the word fell in. Right? So without really dealing with that, I want to say, you have to, first of all, if you can hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying, then you need to do something about it. We're going to be judged by every idle word that come out our mouth. Now, I used to wonder about that. I said, Lord, all this stuff I done said. But guess what the revelation was? A lot of it is not going to count until you get the word in that makes a difference. Mm-hmm. After you hear the truth,
mm-hmm,
and you start talking something different after you hear the truth,
mm-hmm,
carries a whole different weight, mm-hmm, as if you've never heard it.
Wow.
To know better is to do better, right?
That's right.
So if to him that knoweth good and that doeth if not, mm-hmm, it's called what?
Sin.
Mm-hmm. So I just want to say, I love that part. It said, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. So is this not the blessing, or one of the blessings that come when we read about it, when we started off in it, said that's going to be a blessing in reading Revelation? If you go back to the first, in the first chapter, that talks about that, we're going to get a blessing for reading this.
That's right.
And the blessing is, when you read it, you're going to hear something. You're going to hear something. All right?
Wow.
Anybody else want to jump in? That was some good stuff in that one.
Yeah.
But there's getting ready to be some really good stuff here now. We got another church coming.
Mm-mm.
Unto the angel of the church, we're going to verse 14. Unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans, write these things. Said the what?
Amen.
The Amen. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. 15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wast cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. 17, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." Mm. I'm going to stop right there. That's a lot of meat in there. Here we have in 14 more definitions of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Amen. What does amen?
It is so.
It is so.
Agreement.
It's done. Mm-hmm. The finality of the statement.
Exactly.
You can't add no more to it or take nothing away from it. This is it. Faithful and true witness. He is the way, the truth, and the life, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to, but I'm waiting for you.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. The next is the beginning of the creation of God.
Well, where are you going? 17 first?
No, I'm still doing 14.
Okay, the 14.
I was just doing the names.
Well, you know, when we started out, remember we said that these churches are indicative of what is today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, in here, where he says that that God tells them they're poor, naked, and so forth, because they're so haughty. You know, the name, what is it?
Laodicea.
Laodicea is composed of two words, and it means people and judgment.
People and judgment.
And judgment.
Okay, it's two words, people and judgment. Mm-hmm. And it was a place of great wealth. And they became so wealthy and so haughty and so arrogant, even though they believed in God. Mm-hmm. Their wealth and their arrogance and all their power took them. That's why he said, you're neither hot nor cold.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had a medical school there. They had a medical school, and they were known for their medicines. That's why when you get further down and you read about the eyes being open with the salve, because they invented a tablet, a little grain that was pounded into alcohol, and it became a salve, and they would rub it to open their eyes, to cleanse their eyes. So they were, if you look at it, we got churches like that now that have a lot of congregational members, and mm-hmm. I guess they give them money because they got these edifices, and the pastors don't look like they're in need of nothing, you know.
Wow.
So they think that they speak for they are the leaders in the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I say to Pastor Walker often, I share with him, the numbers may be small, mm-hmm. but it's a reason for that. It's a time of preparation, mm-hmm. a time of separation, a time of preparing our hearts for what is coming. Because what is coming to this church, we have to be prepared.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's going to be some peers in here and some peers in here, and they're going to be young people and young adults.
Mm.
And we have to be prepared, mm-hmm. and we have to open up because, you know, we're old school, you know.
Yeah.
And let's be real about it,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Some things make us uncomfortable, you know. And, you know, but we got to be prepared because that's what's out there. That's what the Lord wants us to go and get.
Mm-hmm.
And churches that are wealthy and prosperous and well-known, I don't mean to take over, but they are the ones that he said, I'll spear out of my mouth.
Wow.
Now, let me just break in here. When you're talking about lukewarm, if you drink lukewarm water, it won't help your stomach. It'll upset your stomach.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what he was saying. What disturbs this calm that I got is either it needs to be cold water or it needs to be hot water. And he says, you know, if you're standing in the middle, you've made a decision neither for it nor against it. And so when you have God, either God is going to be God or he's not going to be God. So this is what the Lord was saying. Because you think that you have arrived, that's when you are most vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
The haughty mind and the proud person, God rejects them right off the bat.
Mm-hmm.
Right off the bat.
That's right.
So here they are thinking that they are all of that in a bag of chips, when they really don't realize that you are nothing apart from God. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have God and you think that your money is your God, you don't have a protection, so you are naked, right? And if you think that you have risen to a point where you don't need God, then you have taken God's place. Because everybody needs God. So that's where that being at this level going to cause your mind to think wrong. It's going to cause you to think wrong. This church was in a beautiful place too. It was built on seven mountains, just like Rome was. I was reading here, they had theaters, they had marble theaters, they had vast walls. Portia was talking about how they had schools. They had it going on, mm-hmm. But what they had going on had them.
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's where you have to be careful. Amen. You can drive whatever you want, but don't let that drive you.
Exactly.
You know, be able to get out of it, and if a tree fall on it, you're not gonna have a heart attack. And if,
yeah.
and if somebody run into it or scratch it, you're
yeah.
not gonna lose your salvation.
Yeah.
Right? Or if somebody yeah. lean on it, you know, you want to fight birds to poop on it. It's got you at that point. So he's really dealing with some things here. Sometimes we can assume we're in a place, but we're not in that place at all. And so the most humble thing to do is to stay that way. Lord, I need help. I need for you to show me. You know, even if he does bless you, you need to talk to him more than just thanking him over the food that you eat. Because, see, that's what happens a lot of times. I've had people say to me, this is true, that they said, if I got all my needs met, what do I need God for?
What? Right.
Yeah. I mean, rich people will tell you, why do I need God? I don't need for him to supply anything to me because I've already got that. And then I'm living a life, there's only this one life that I got. Mm-hmm. So I'm already living good. This is my heaven right here. So when I die, that's just it. So I'm living my heaven right here. And it's a good place.
They tell you that in a minute too.
Look, you the one that need help. I don't need help.
Right.
That God that you got, I'm already blessed.
Right.
You hold on to that.
Because
see, that God you talking about wants me to give everything that I got to trifling, lazy folk. And I don't understand that. This is the classic one. I thought it said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Isn't that what it said in that book you read? Oh, they know how to turn that. They know how to turn that thing around.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was watching the Emmys last night, and I don't even know the lady's name, but she got up. She was getting an Emmy, and she got up there and said, I don't even believe in God.
She did.
She said, I don't even believe in God, but she.
Right.
Wow.
I don't believe in God, but I have been so blessed. Okay, how can you put in the same sentence that you don't believe in God, but you blessed? So who blessing you?
They're God.
Right.
And see, people will take that and run with that. Oh, she don't believe in God, but she's still blessed because she's rich, you know, and that's her money. That. I was like, did you really get on TV and say that?
Well, there was another, I don't know if you look at CNN with, what's his name? He has a show on Saturday night, black guy.
Don Lemon?
No.
Don's on every night.
He used to work for the Obama administration. I know his name.
Van?
Yeah, Van Jones.
Oh, Van Jones.
Just to show you how the Lord has us in different places in the entertainment field. I don't know if you all are familiar with the comedian. She's tall. her name is, she's on Saturday Night Live. She's the only black female.
Oh, yeah.
Well, she was on Van Jones, and she was talking about her career and how, I'm just piggybacking on what you said, and how see, the enemy had a platform with the enemies, and he used her as a spokesperson.
Yeah.
But let me show you what the Lord does with platforms, you know, in the secular world. He asked her about her life, and she said, you know, being black and tall like I am, and not really,
she ain't cute.
You know, but she's attractive. I mean, she really is, because her inner brings out her beauty, even though she may put on some ridiculous faces with her comedian act. Nevertheless, to make a long story short, she was talking about how it was hard for her as a comedian and how she couldn't pay her bills, but she said, it was my faith in God that kept me going, that brought me to this place. And Van Jones said, we don't talk about God on here.
That's what he said?
What? And you know what? He said it, but it wasn't loud. It was, I know she heard it, but she totally dismissed it. She totally dismissed it. But she kept talking. She gave her testimony of who kept her and who brought her to. So, you know, the Lord, you know, you would never, if you looked at her and see her, but if you notice, she never uses foul language at any point.
When she's doing her jokes.
She's just calm. She's just funny.
She is just funny.
Who y'all talking about?
Okay.
She's the only black woman on there. Her hair's all wild all the time. I almost called her name.
Dark skin.
Yeah.
The movie Ghostbusters.
Yeah, she's
in Ghostbusters. Yeah. Leslie Jones.
Leslie Jones.
Leslie, her faith, you know?
Yeah.
And she professed it, on that platform. Yeah. With all those intellectuals that are caught up in their own loss, whatever they're in. But she dismissed it and continued to talk about how, you know. So when you talk about blessed, those people are blessed because they are blessed by their inner strength of who they are.
Yeah.
And Satan has deceived them.
Yeah.
They have the mind and the wherewithal and so forth. But she just said it right out there. And he said, we don't talk about God.
Ooh. Well, he's getting a divorce.
Well, you know, they have all been, and they all have had, been known the word.
Yeah.
And chose to go this way and so forth. But regardless, all you doing is just self-destructing yourself without the Lord.
Yeah.
But it was one thing I wanted to come back to this church. Remember that this church, this was a church, these were pagans who came to know God, okay? And what Jesus was telling them about them being naked and so forth, he was saying, you are devoid of my robe of righteousness.
Right.
You are devoid of it. And that's why he said, you know, you got to, when you are a believer and you start going into a backseat, you are no longer wearing that robe of righteousness. That doesn't say your salvation is God, but your righteousness, you give it up. You give it up. And he was saying, don't do that. Come back.
Wow.
Come back.
And there's an opportunity for you to come back.
And there's an opportunity. And this was the last period of, God speaking to the churches until Jesus comes back.
Wow.
Prophetically. This is what he was telling all of these churches. And that's why it's in the last book.
Right.
If I may, I want to piggyback, as you said, on something you said earlier. And let me preempt this statement by saying you have to know my personality to know me to get the gist of this. Last week I was talking to a very, very dear friend of mine who's a member of my wife's church. He took over as being president of Male Chorus when I left the church. And he's a deacon, not that that's important. But a couple of months ago he had surgery. He had his five toes on his right foot amputated. And when I called him, I called him Kuta Kente. You're supposed to smile on that one. Well, and that's what I called him, Kuta Kente. That's not his name, but I called him Kuta Kente for the obvious reason of roots. You know, he can't run from his wife now, so he can't escape. So we had this conversation, you know, He said he's feeling down. And I said, excuse me? Man, I said, I can't hear what you're saying. I heard him, but yeah. What'd you say? Man, man, it's like Jesus then went. I said, what'd you say? You know, I just go on and on and on with his comments.
Mm-hmm.
I said, nut brain. I mean, that's, hey, you got, like I said, you got to understand me.
Mm-hmm.
I said, nut brain. Don't you know Jesus has the power to heal? If you go back and look at Genesis 3, when all this stuff happened, he told you what was going to happen. Just because you had your little toes amputated, you ought to have the whole foot cut off. Now, he's a diabetic. That's what happened.
Right.
Yeah. I said, you got two? Because yeah. When I had gout, and a friend of mine told me, he said, what you worried about? I said, I don't worry about nothing. He said, tell him to cut it off. You got another foot there, so let him cut it off. And, I mean, that's how we talk,
yeah.
Okay?
Right.
And I'm saying, James, that's his name, James. I said, James, come on, wake up. I said, Jesus healed people and raised people from the dead to let you know he has the power to do just that. He raised people from the dead just to let you know he has power over death. And I said, don't you know in Revelation, I think it's 21, when he said when New Jerusalem come out, there will be no more crying, no more sorrows, all this dead stuff, there will be no more tears. Mm-hmm. What's your problem? He said, man, I'm so glad you called me. I'm back into it now. You and somebody that's almost told me the same thing verbatim. I said, get a life. I said, just because you think you're feeling down, wake up. Smell a rose, boy.
Mm-hmm.
He said he felt a whole lot better.
Good. You ministered to his soul.
In a way, I'm getting on his rooty tooty, but I'm letting him know Jesus is still where he said he will be. Mm-hmm. He'll do just what he said he will do. He'll do
exactly.
It. He'll do just that.
And that's still the root that we got to hold firm. And if we believe that God is God, that we ought to believe that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
If we're gonna be a Christian, be one.
That's right.
Just as with all you got. And if you stumble, just ask for forgiveness
and keep it
and keep it going. Because you're going to have to repent. Because he said, if you walk around here and say, I don't sin, you the most wretched of them all.
Mm-hmm.
Who are you to say? Because it's sin in your members.
Right.
Paul said, hey, I wrote a lot, but you know, I say I'm going to do some things, I don't do them. I say I'm not going to do some things, I end up doing them. He said, oh, wretched man am I.
That's right.
He said, but you know what? I'm still going to run this race. I'm still going to hang in here. Let me get into this. In 18, it says, I counsel thee who's got this problem, right? That they rich and increase with goods, but yet they poor, richer and all that. Here comes some wisdom. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thou eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. God saying to them, listen, get you some wisdom that I've got set forth for you. It's been tried in the fire. I got something for you. That you have is going to perish. That you have is already causing you not to be where you need to be. So now come to me. So is this not the call that we are supposed to take out to the world? Repent. The Lord wants you to come. My thing now is there is a voice of reason. Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let's have a talk. Let's have a talk. Now, do you know what Portia said is so true? And this is why it is. We've gotten two generations that really don't know God at all that are out there right now. Lisa, you know about it, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Lisa's in the school system, and she know that there are some kids out there.
Mm-hmm.
Their parents didn't go to church.
Right.
They don't go to church.
That's right.
Their grandparents didn't go to church because their grandparents just now trying to get out here, and their parents are young and don't know nothing.
That's right.
Where did they get theirs from? So now they don't hardly stand a chance. But the chance that they do have is that the word of God is going forth. And so when they get a chance to hear that word of God, they're going to come right on over here.
Right.
And all that they done been through with the tattoos and the earrings and all this other junk, they bringing it all because that's all they got.
That's all they got.
That's all they know. And then it's the word of God that'll work with them, mm-hmm. you know. And they not going to be able to remove their tattoo.
That's right.
They not going to be able to remove. Some of them going to take the earrings out, some of them not.
Yeah.
So what do you say? You mm-hmm. said, and look, is God making a difference in their life?
Mm-hmm.
We can't say, oh, you hadn't done this, you hadn't done that.
Yeah.
We got to let, it's the word of God that does not return void.
That's right.
You know, so when I look at this, it says that they got a chance. If they get what God got, they can be rich. They can be clothed in white raiment. That they'll not be ashamed of what they did in the past. But guess what? I'm going to heaven now. It don't matter about what's on this body. Mm-hmm. What's inside
that's
this
right.
body is what's important.
Yeah, right? But what if you witness to somebody? My nephew and his girlfriend, they already had tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, nobody showed you the scripture, you know, where you're not supposed to mark your body. They went out and got more. The woman mm-hmm. just got a tattoo of her dead dog on mm-hmm. her arm, mm-hmm. and my nephew done got some more on his neck, you know.
They saved?
No.
Well,
that's what they do.
But they claim to be Christians.
I asked you a question, and you said no.
And you said no.
And now you're telling me
now
that they were not.
They Christians.
Yeah, but they claim to be Christians. Well, not,
but
they
pray
to God.
Okay,
you
know? Now, are we talking about churches here that's got a
that's
situation?
That's the same thing he's talking
him.
About.
This is what we're talking about here
that's
now.
Him. That's
mm-hmm.
That having a form
you're
of
judging
godliness.
Them because they got tattoos, but they are professing salvation.
She didn't say that. Now she said they claiming to be Christians. That's a
and they living together. They're not married.
Oh,
so
well,
I'm just saying
I'm still not judging them if they say they Christians.
Yeah, they say they pray. They believe in God.
Okay.
See, that really opened room up for the lie, as I would say, because
that's right.
When you look at the truth, and when we reject the truth, that opened up an avenue for the lie to come in. Okay, what is the lie? The lie is the devil, Antichrist, they're going to maintain that he's God. So that give avenue for the people don't Saturday and Sunday come knocking on your door, and if these people don't stand for something, they're going to fall for this cult
right.
that's going to come knocking on their door mm-hmm. on a Saturday or Sunday morning because they're not going to church.
Oh, they not going to church?
No.
See?
Oh, they don't go to church.
Well, now they into this Yahweh thing.
Well,
what's
see?
A Yahweh?
You know,
it's the Hebrew.
Yeah.
It's a whole new thing.
Because when they
coming.
Pray, they say Yahweh. They don't use word
Jesus.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, well.
So we do have. So now they got a chance, and this is yes. what we got in 18. They got a chance.
Yeah,
19, good. As many as I love.
On 18, I just wanted to point this out. Because, remember, we're talking about a church that is in a backslidden state.
Right.
Not unbelievers. So, what Jesus, I mean, when I got my notes, said, I'm seeing that Jesus is a sort of source of true riches. He's a sort of source of all riches, okay? And he wants his people, that is this church here, to come to know him and exchange their unbelief and selfishness for the purified gold of faith and love. And you find the scriptures that back that up is in 1 Peter 1:7 and Galatians 5:6, which Galatians 5:6 says faith, a faith that worked through love. And then I also have that Jesus bids us to give up our mistaken view that we are spiritually healthy. That is, those people believing they were spiritually healthy And that they had the work of the Holy Spirit working in their lives, what Jesus is saying, he wants them to open their eyes to their true condition, mm-hmm. that their riches and their wealth are not purified with righteousness, the tangible things. Mm-hmm. He's bringing them back to the whole spiritual, bringing them back to, because we got to keep in mind what Jesus is telling this church is they were borderlining, going into, you know, really backsliding, mm-hmm. and so yeah. far away from God. And Jesus is saying to them, you know, I am the source of pure riches.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know, faith and love is the source of wealth that I give.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I just wanted to point that out.
Right.
Because if you don't, you'll slide over this right quickly.
Well, I'm
not you.
No. I'm glad you brought that, because and I just want to bring it back around to say, if you're standing in the middle and you're not committed either way, and assuming that your stand is good because you got clothes, because you know you got money and everything, then you really don't see that you don't have anything, because you've not even made a commitment either way. So he's saying, listen, I don't like any of that. I would rather that you would be one or the other.
Or the other.
And so he goes to break this down by saying, what you assume by standing there in the middle,
mm-hmm.
is wrong, because you're naked. You think you got clothes on, but you don't, because you really don't have me on,
mm-hmm.
right? And the only way you're going to have him on is to make a commitment for him. How do you how do you get him? You receive him, right?
Yeah.
You ask him to come in, you know? So once you ask him to come in, that means that you've made a place for him, right? You when you ask God to come in, you've made a place for him in your life. Because other than that, the world is your life. When we come into this world, we come in with a different daddy, right? So we got to kick him out and make space for our new father.
All right.
Right? Because those that are sinners, they do exactly what sinners do. Right?
Well, yeah,
they got their candles, they got their statues, they got the pictures of what they want. Their God is mammon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they selfish and everything. So God is saying, hey, you know, y'all standing here, you got this big edifice up here, you got these beautiful walls, you got all this stuff going, but you don't have me. Because you neither hot nor cold. You standing here saying, I'm good. But they equated spiritual goodness with material things. And so God is saying that stuff doesn't work, because it's shallow and it doesn't protect. You don't have my righteousness.
As we do today.
And that was going to be my next question. Can we associate that to the church today?
Yes. Yes.
Well, if we got a big church with a lot of Cadillacs and Mercedes and big things out front, does that mean that this is the real church of God?
No,
some people think so.
But again, you can see how you can be deceived by that.
Amen. I believe that's why it says in the scripture, say it's hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
He didn't say he couldn't get in. He just said it's hard.
He didn't say they wouldn't get in, but it said hard, because you ain't gonna humble yourself down. You ain't gonna, believe in God first, because your riches gonna keep you from getting there. You can get that if you don't let the riches take over you. You can't get there.
You know, based on your statement there, I had a flashback on Joseph Smith, Mormonism. I don't know if you all know anything, the history of Mormonism, all this good stuff they used to go through, but they think fault that they were it,
mm-hmm.
you know. They wouldn't allow certain things into the church. I think it was in the latter 60s or early 70s when they finally started admitting blacks, but the blacks was relegated to a minor role. You know, they couldn't do certain things in there. Even if you visit Salt Lake, I've had the opportunity when I was working and traveling, I visited Salt Lake because we had a plant there in Ogden, Utah. I love staying at the Marriott in Salt Lake Palace there, which is right around from the temple.
But Salt Lake City, as they would say to me, is one of the cleanest cities that you would ever want to visit. The church itself, you can go in at certain times into the church, but sometimes you can't go into the temple itself for various reasons. I have no idea. But the temple as a whole, and for Mormonism, they view their situation as their religion is better than others. That's the way they viewed it. That's the way I think it is today, because if you want a loan in Salt Lake City, say Utah, so to speak, you're going to have to go through someone that's affiliated with the church before you can get a sizable loan or even start a business there in Utah, and especially Salt Lake City. It's not going to happen.
Well, the state of Utah actually is not governed by the United States. It's governed by the Mormon Church.
Really?
The state?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, see, if you look at it, the government really doesn't govern the states. It governs the country. States govern themselves.
States govern themselves.
The Mormons own Utah.
They have some issues.
And they have an underground library and library of artifacts that's unbelievable. They can tell you
right
where your great-great-grandfather
was born.
They got archives.
Little things about finding your roots and everything. Mm-hmm. That's a subsidy of the Mormons.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And because they have all that information.
Right.
Brigham Young.
And that's that all of them. Finding your so forth. That's just a subsidy of the Mormon Church. They're making money. Because they have it. But I didn't want to. I just wanted to. You're right. The U.S. government, I mean, they have no say-so. If anything would ever happen in Utah, it would be totally governed, and everything would be by the state. And the state, all of the state representatives are Mormons.
Wow.
Everybody's a Mormon. Mm.
Wow.
Run it and own it. I mean, if you want to get the
vote. Is a Mormon?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Orrin Hatch.
He's a Mormon?
Yeah. They're all Mormons. Yeah. You know?
And they have the first black female congressman. She's a Mormon.
She's a Mormon?
Right. So you know, when they start acting crazy about Muslims becoming, you know, congressmen or senate or black people, they say, well, wait a minute. But see, they're white.
They're white.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
They're Caucasian.
Yeah.
You know? But I just want to give this book,
go ahead.
Alfred, before we finish. In this 18, the word talks about it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried by fire. Read 1 Peter 1:7, folks, and Galatians 5:6 will give you it will tie into what that word is.
Somebody can read
there.
It now. Can you
then,
put it up on your
phone? Christ's robe of righteousness will really just delight you so in Revelation 19:8. And Isaiah 61:10.
Okay, give me the first one again.
1 Peter 1:7.
1 Peter 1:7, Galatians 5:6, the robe of righteousness, Revelation 19:8 is so beautiful. You just sit there and hold your breath. And Isaiah 61:10.
1 Peter 1:7 says, I'm gonna start with 6. In this you greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
All right. Now, that back up just two. Do the last two little sentences again, because that is...
I'm going to start with 7 again. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold.
Your faith. Is your faith in God, or is your faith in the clothes
gold,
or the money, or your position? Mm-hmm. Or I dare say your church. I can dare say your bishop.
Yeah.
If all that come out your mouth is your bishop, your bishop that, mm-hmm. you gotten into a little
yeah.
man worship.
Mm-hmm.
So now do you see what we're talking about? Mm-hmm. When you're talking about what's gonna be tried, and he said, "Come seek of me, because mm-hmm. what I got's been tried by fire."
Amen.
Right now it, and if you go back up to that, he said he's the faithful witness, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. All that he said, who he was, is all being woven in all through here. The evidence that when he comes, you're going to see him as he is, tears down everything that has been in your mind.
Wow.
Because everything that we could think of, if we've been thinking anything other than him, when he comes, he's going to be like, woo. Now, I'm going to close out and say this. Do you remember, as a group, when people were talking about in death, don't go into the light? Anybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when you at one
don't
at,
follow
at,
the light, don't go into
don't go into the light. This might have been a little before your time. I don't know, but now the revelation is that why wouldn't you go into the light? That was the deception. And even if you look at some of the older movies, say around 70s and 80s movies, when the light come,
you go toward it.
No, they were always running away from the light. But that was the deception in Hollywood was perpetrating that. When, if you read the scriptures, if he said he is the light of the world, then why would you not want to go to the light? Now, we know why people don't want to go to the light, right? We don't want to go to the light because it shows up all of the flaws and the impurities and things that are inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter, because once we go into the light, it's all burned out anyway. And so what comes out after that? We've been tried by the fire. And so we come out as pure gold. Right?
Right.
The other side of that is he's not going to really have to do that anyway, because he don't like our bodies anyway, because it's made out of what?
Flesh.
Right.
And what's that flesh made out of?
Sin.
Dirt. It says, unto dirt you going to return. You're going to get a new body.
Okay.
You're going to get a new body, because this one is no good. Mm-hmm. And then he said, no flesh will glory.
That's right.
Sight. Hey, babe, I'm bringing a quick notation. That I don't want to come into the light. You don't want to come into the light because your deeds are evil.
Right. That's what the scripture said. We've been through that. We don't want to go into the light. 21 says this as we close. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, what?
Let him hear.
Let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. How we doing so far?
We're doing good.
I'm loving this revelation.
I am too.
I'm a loving.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. All right.
So, 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, is that saying that I allow myself to be tempted? I know better, but
who is I allow what? I'm missing your point now. Now
well, it says, whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So.
Oh, okay, so now listen. Why do you get rebuked and disciplined?
Because I did something wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now your question is what?
My question was that I, as a Christian, is this what this saying? If I mess up, that God is going to he's going to forgive me, but he's going to discipline me.
All right, let me the word discipline here. Let me use another term for you.
Okay.
All right. As you go along, you are going to be taught as you mature in Christ things that are going to rub you wrong.
Mm-hmm.
because as you mature in God, God gonna show you a more better way. You've been not saved longer than you've been saved. So there's some things that gonna have to be rubbed off. There's some things that gonna have to be knocked off. There's some things that gonna have to be scrubbed off. So you gonna have to be chastened. You gonna have to be dealt with. Jesus said, if I don't chasten you, then I don't love you. So there's gonna have to be some guidelines and some things set. All right. Here's another way of looking at it. You can have a bush that's a nice sized bush, but if you trim it and prune it and work with it, it'll get bigger and bring forth even more blooms and be even more beautiful. Now, would you rather just stay there and be mediocre, or would you let the Lord come in? And because he loves you, he know how many blooms you can produce, but you don't know how many. So sometimes he going to have to come in there and cut some things off and work with you. He might even take you out of the pot that you in
and put you in
a whole nother pot. But guess what? He knew the pot you needed to be in the first place. And he knew what you could take when he moved you. And he knew what you could do even though you did not. And so this is what I always have endeavored to do as being a teacher here, and to have you all to look at God knows more about you than you know. So when he tell you to do something, I know you. It's all right to scratch your head, but the next thing is to go on and do it, because he's going to show you that with him you can do all things. And if you let him stretch you, you will be surprised what you can do. Huh? Now, I have people to tell me, if I didn't lose my job, I would never know what all I could do, because I thought that job was my world. And when that job folded, I found out I could do a whole lot of more things. And they prospered because they got out of this old thing that they had all of their strategy in and went to something else. Now, when they lost their job, was it tragic?
It may have been at that moment.
It was tragic at that time, because the money that they were looking for and that they had got accustomed to wasn't there. So that was an adjustment period that had to come in the midst of that, to say, man, what am I going to do now? I'm going to have to trust God. Now, what do you do after you trust God? You go out there and knock on some doors and you redo your resume, and then you find out, guess what? There are some other companies out there. But because you were complacent, you know, so God will move you around and do some things that to you gonna seem to be very uncomfortable, but it's gonna bring forth a greater weight, right? It's gonna work out for your best good.
Amen.
All right.
I got a question. Is there another word for spew?
Puke.
It's me.
Regurgitate.
My Bible.
Vomit. That's a good one. That's a good one. Vomit. Yes. Puke. Throw up. Yes. Oh, yeah, all that kind of good stuff. Yeah. But let it get out of there, because it's not doing what it's supposed to do. All right?
All right.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this group. We thank you for revelation knowledge. And Lord, that word that you put on our hearts, the enemy will not be able to come and take it. And as we leave this place, we're not from your presence. We ask that you encamp your angels round about us to protect us and get us to our next destination. And we'll be careful to give you alone all of the praise, honor, glory, adoration, and thanksgiving, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen. Amen.